Good Sunday morning, everybody. It's always great when technology works. Thank you, Ron, for the great study. That was awesome. Appreciate that. Thank you, Tony, for the music this morning. Yes, I would love to see the Lord someday. That's for sure. Well, today is Sunday, May 28th, 2023. This is moving right along this year, almost half over. And today is Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, as Ronnie talked about. And I try to keep Memorial Day and Veterans Day separate because the Veterans Day is for the live veterans, and Memorial Day is for those who gave their life for our freedom. So we certainly want to remember all those who gave their life for our freedom that we have today, not only our personal freedom, but our freedom in Christ. And I want to also recognize our spiritual veterans who have fought the great battle, those being Dr. Blair and Charles Welch, Oscar Baker, Allen, Mr. McWilliams, Mr. Pink Hinkey, you know, there's many more. You know, Lori and Candy's dad, and there's so many who were veterans of our spiritual warfare, and I want to remember those people as well. also, as we pray this morning, remember David Bickle, who is also a veteran, but he's a veteran now of cancer surgery. He just had a colon cancer surgery on Friday morning and is doing pretty well. This morning, Linda says it hurts when he coughs, but I suppose when you have that kind of surgery, it's going to hurt when you cough no matter what. And so let's bow in a word of prayer to get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again today for truth of your word. We thank you for your love and for your inspiration, but mostly for the blood of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and gave us the freedom to be free of all things. And we ask you to be with those today who need your help and need your touch, especially David Bickle, Dorothea Pink Hinkey, and others who are, you know, not living the best point of their life right now. So we ask you to be with them, and we ask you to be with everybody on this study, whether live or by recording, to hear what you have to say today. Bless our hearts and give us encouragement. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Tony, for posting in advance. You're always doing such great work. today the topic of the lesson is going to be the word power, P-O-W-E-R, power. When I think of power, I think of horsepower. And that would be like a few weeks ago we had the Kentucky Derby, which is a huge, huge hippodrome, as Welch would call it, a hippodrome, a horse racetrack. And you think of horsepower, you know, the power of those horses. Well, today here in Indianapolis area where I live, today is the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500. And this is going to start probably before I finish this lesson. And there's 33 cars in this race running about 900 horsepower each. So you imagine the horsepower there. It's more than the Kentucky Derby. A lot more horsepower. And usually this time of day, there's a couple of military jets buzzing around our house, preparing to go down over the race when it starts. When they do the flyover, they usually are circling and practicing out here over our house. I did see them out here. I think it was Friday. There was a couple of them just buzzing right over our place. You could almost see the pilot in the cockpit. They were so low. And I just saw a couple of them flying just south of me here It's kind of a cloudy day. And speaking of cloudy day, I wish we were having some rain like you guys are. We have been dry here. We're going to be dry for the next 10 days. So things are looking good right now, but it's going to turn dry in a real hurry here. So we're praying for some rain here. But think of all the power it takes to get 300,000 people to this Indianapolis 500 race and back home again. You know, all the automobile power, the airplanes, in the motorcycles, whatever. It takes a lot of power to put on something like that. Of course, you know, in the beginning when Adam was around, there was just manpower, and then there became animal power, and then, they, of course, they had water power and wind power and gravity and leverage and other sources of power, which are pretty basic and simple. But then we get into steam power and electric power and gasoline power, natural gas, nuclear, coal, atomic, geothermal, rocket power. So there's a lot of powers that we have come to know that are amazing. And, of course, Satan today wants us to boil down to power. He doesn't want us to have the choice of having different gas stations to go to. He wants everybody to have electric cars, so you only got one source to plug in your car, and that means that one source has all the control and all the two powers, the power to control you and the power to control your car. Of course, we have a lot of natural power of floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and forest fires. I think Forrest Cottrell knows a little bit about forest fires and the power of that fire. Well, the word power occurs 275 times in the Bible, and it's not a usual or common topic for Bible lessons. We normally don't think of power when we're talking about scriptures. And I know Forrest Cottrell has spoken on this subject before. He is the Dunamis coach. He is the power coach on this Pal Talk lesson. The English word power is represented by a family of words in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there's 24 Hebrew words that can be used for some sense of power. And in the New Testament, there's 13 Greek forms that represent the expression of power in some form. But, of course, the source of all power is God. And today we think of power is the essence of warfare. How many millions and millions of people have been killed by the power of warfare on this earth? Psalm 145:11 speaks of, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. So I'm going to run through some verses on power, and then we're going to talk a little bit at the end about how power affects us today as the sons of God. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. This reverse of the verse I just read, the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. David was saying in 1 Chronicles 9:29-11-12, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all power is in heaven and on earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And Daniel 2:37. Daniel was talking about Nebuchadnezzar. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And in Matthew 16:13, this is the Lord's Prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. It's a kingdom prayer. And this says, to thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So Christ and God are the head of all power. So just as there are two seeds in the world, there are two powers in the world. Power can be used for good or evil. Just think of the power of creation. What kind of power did it take? It's beyond our imagination and ability to understand, but think of the power it took to create the heavens and the earth. And, I mean, that includes everything that exists in our universe and solar system and in our world. We have the power of the sword in Job 5:20. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. So the sword has power. But in Ephesians 6, the sword is also the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We have the power of the grave in Psalm 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So the grave has power. But in Matthew 16, remember Jesus says, in this rock I shall create or find the ecclesia, the called out ones, and the gates of the grave shall not prevail against the called out. So the grave has no power over the saved. There's the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That is amazing power, that little tongue we have. Turn to James 3. James 3. And this is verses, starting at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater damnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, in other words, by his tongue, the same as a perfect man, and able to also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they that obey us, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth of great things. It's a little member of the body and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and all things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The power of the tongue. The power of flames in Isaiah 47:14. Isaiah 47:14. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to set before it. The power of the flame. You know, on my property, I burn a lot of trees and branches and things that die and have to be cut down and done away with. And because I'm zoned as agriculture, I can still burn. And it's amazing. You build a pile as big as a house or big as a room, and you set it on fire, and it's just amazing how quickly that is gone. Just in minutes, that is gone. And Ronnie and Lori certainly know about the power of the flames. So does Forrest and Kathleen. You know, these fires just take everything. Everything you can own, it's minutes. It's gone. But in Daniel 3:27, it says that and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whom their bodies the fire had no power, nor was hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, or the smell of fire had passed on them. So this was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So fire had no power over them because they were protected by the Lord. In Daniel 6:27, he delivereth and rescue, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So King Darius saw the power of God in rescuing Daniel from the power of the lions. And in 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Then we had the power of the grave in Hosea 13:14. This is talking about Israel. And we do our studies on Lo Ami. We talk about Hosea a lot and Israel. And 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So here the Lord is going to be a plague to death. And of course, he's going to destroy death and the grave in the burning lake of fire, as Ronnie taught us in Revelation 20. So this is Israel in the future being redeemed and ransomed from the power of the grave. There's in Matthew 9:6, and we don't have to go through all these, Tony, but I'm going to run through some of these. But Matthew 9:6 talks about the power to forgive sins. Matthew 10:1, the power against unclean spirits. The Lord gave the apostles power against unclean spirits. And Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But yet the devil says to Jesus in the wilderness, he says, all this power I will give thee. And Jesus has got to be sitting, and, you know, I'm the one that gave you this power in the first place. No, thank you. And Luke 22:53, there's the power of darkness. This is when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. The power of darkness, the power of that religion that was against the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to become children of God. That's in John 1:12. The power to become children of God. In John 19:11, there is no power except to be given from above. So every power that anybody has is given from above. In Acts 1:7, when the apostles are asking, "Will thou restore the kingdom to Jerusalem?" And Jesus says, "The Father hath power of the times and the seasons." So the Father has the power of when things happen and determines the ages. In Acts 1:8, apostles receive power from on high. And in Acts 6:8, Stephen was full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. Imagine that. And in Acts 26:18, in Paul's calling, he was given to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So Paul was given a great ministry there to open the powers, and he's still doing that today. He's opened my eyes, turned me from darkness. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, says Romans 1:16. Romans 1:20 says eternal talks about the eternal power of God. God's power is eternal. It's over all other powers. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto higher power. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world to live in? We'll have it someday, but just think of all these people today who, I guess they are subject unto a higher power, but it's not the power of God. It's the power of Satan for a lot of them. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 15:24 talks about the end of all power. This is all worldly power, principalities, powers, and mights. In 2 Timothy 1:17, we are given not the spirit of fear, but of power. So even though it's not in the scriptures, let us not to forget the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And also the power of love. Love has great power. So we can read about and see many great works of power in the Bible. But what about now? What about today? All of that power has been concentrated to the body of Christ. We are God's power. Turn to Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. A country road far from my house and is called Flippin's Road. Flippin's Road. I always think of Philippians when I see that sign. Flippin's Road. So in 3:10, let's go back to 3:8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I be Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made known conformable to his death. The power of his resurrection. Well, I think Paul's prayer there is answered, as we'll see in a minute. And in verse 320, down in 320, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now that word able is part of the family of for the word power. He has the power even to do all things unto himself. So that's part of the family of words in the New Testament for power, the word able. That is the word dunamis, as well as power is the word dunamis, but it's also translated able. In Ephesians 1:19, this is where I think it is the most important one of all of this study. Paul has a prayer, and he's praying to the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making you mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, or in the most holy place. So Paul is praying that we would understand what he just wrote about in verses 1 through 16, the mystery of the body of Christ. In verse 19, he goes on to say, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, God's power, the Father's power, to usward who believe. Who believe what? Who believe in Christ, or who believe the mystery of the body of Christ? I believe this word believe refers to believing the mystery of the body of Christ according to the working of his mighty power. So there we have three different words there in that verse 19. His power to usward who believe, according to the working of the power of his might, is the direct translation, the power of his might. The power of the might, the power of the might of him. We have the article in front of both of those words, mighty and power. So the power by which we believe the mystery of the body of Christ is, as it's going to say in the next verse, the same power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him far above all at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Those are four other words that represent power. Principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, the next world, the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth, the new world. So, imagine that the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead, with the burden of all the sins of the world on his shoulders, that's the same power he used with you and me just to simply believe the mystery of the body of Christ. And that is against the next power we're going to read about down here in chapter 2. Verse 2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So here we have the other power. There's two forces going on here. We have the power of God that raised Christ from the dead. We have the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. But we became obedient. We became obedient to Paul's gospel of the body of Christ. So Christ is the head of the calling out, which is his body. The body gets the power from the head. Without the head, we have no power. You can't talk, you can't think, you can't walk. Without the head, you can't do anything. You're powerless. So we have these two powers working against each other. Let's go to Ephesians 3:4. Where Paul said, how that by revelation made unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That's another mystery. The mystery of Christ. But that word may is dunamai, that ye may, that's another word for power, that you may have the power to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. 3:7, Paul says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The grace of God was given to Paul by power, by the power of God. We get grace the same way. It's a gift, but it's by the power of God. Verse 3:10, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Well, we have two sets of principalities and powers here. We have the evil principalities and powers that are not in heavenly places, and we have principalities and powers that are in heavenly places. To the intent now that to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the body of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God. And because we are above all other principalities and powers, and even these in heavenly places, we're above them too. But I believe that there are two sets of principalities and powers. Paul prays again that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner. There's two more words for power. Strengthened with might. Strengthened with might. Verse 3:20. Now unto him that is able, there's another word for power, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Did you know there's a power that worketh in you? There's a power that worketh in us. We have a power. We sometimes don't realize this or think of this, but we do have power. Let's go to 6:10, verse chapter 6 in Ephesians, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember in 3:16, he said, be strengthened with the might by his spirit. In verse 6:10, he says, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Oh ho! We're getting ready for a war here. We are in a war. we are in a war, that ye may be able, there again is that word for power, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you have power to stand. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are all words for power. Principalities, powers, rulers, all words for power. 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, there's that word again, for power, that you have the power to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able, there's that word for power, able to quench. So we have able to stand, able to withstand, able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. There's that sword, that power of the sword of the Spirit. Let's go to Colossians 1:11. There's Philippians. There's Colossians 1:11. Starting at verse 10, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. There's two more words for power. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Whose power? His power. Where? In us. It's in us. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the holiest of all in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What is the power of darkness? The children of disobedience were in the power of darkness. This power of darkness, remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was the power of darkness that took him and crucified him. This is a religious power of not knowing the truth, truth misplaced. We have it all around us in the world, this power of darkness. We've been delivered from that. We've been translated into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 16, for by him all things were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. There's four more words for power. All things were created by him and for him. Created all powers that be, good or evil, all created by Christ. Colossians 1:25-29. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches and glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man in all wisdom, that we present every man in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That word mightily with power. So, this is the power we use when we preach and warn every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is according to the power of Christ and God. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are, with Christ, the head of all principality and power. Did you know that? In 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's in his death and burial and resurrection. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. And we know this verse very well. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we have this power. We have this spirit of power. We just need to learn how to use it. But power is a word that we normally don't hear in biblical studies. 2 Timothy 1:8, the next verse, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be the partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The gospel according to the power of God. Well, I think Marvel Comics has depicted superheroes with superpowers. But of course, God is nowhere in sight in those stories. We are God's superheroes with superpowers. God has no one else. We are God's means to redeem the heavens and to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the highest sources of power, might, and principalities. God through us can make known to the saints the dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ. God's veterans of war, who he remembers on Memorial Day, are those who he chose to fight the good fight in the warfare with the evil powers. We are the ones suited with spiritual armor for a spiritual war. I may not have had to serve our country in war, but I am certainly serving God in Christ in a spiritual war. There are certainly many others who have gone before us in this battle that deserve a Memorial Day. And I mentioned those at the beginning. Our prayers are the ones that God hears today. We are the faithful ones. We are the obedient ones. We are the orthodox ones. Our prayers are the most effective in this war. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. They're spiritual enemies. So for the rest of this year, we need to remember to pray hard for our country, for our fellow members in the body. We're under attack, and we are the soldiers in this war. And if God hears anybody's prayers, he's going to hear ours. And there's a lot of people praying for our country, but I'm not sure God's totally in line with some of these people. You know, he told Israel in the Old Testament, your prayers are a stench to me. Your incense is a stench to me, because they weren't on the right page. And so I just beseech everybody to pray hard for our country. Pray hard for our kids and our grandkids. And pray hard that God will restore our nation somehow. And maybe whatever his plan is, let it be done. But we have a great nation. We've just given up. We've given our power over to evil people. We've given our power over to the CDC and the FBI and the CIA and the Economic Forum. You know, we don't have to give our power to anybody. We need to keep our power, because we have more power than any people have. And we need to fight the good warfare. We need to pray that the evil that controls these people, God's going to deal with. I know God's in control, and I know that things are going to be okay. I have no fear. I'm not worried. But we still pray, and we'll be victorious in the end. We will be the veterans that God remembers. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing today. Thank you for your power. Help us to understand it and use it properly. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.